All right, so I'll present some of the updates to the Alto protocol draft. Next slide. I'll give the first summary of changes and then list some of the remaining issues that need to be figured out, hopefully in the next revision or very soon. Next slide. All right, so summary of changes. I'll mention all of them briefly here, and I'll go into detail on a few of them for ones that we'd particularly like feedback on. For maps and costs, there was some text in the original draft that indicating when you can use the network map for preferences, the network map alone for preferences. We fixed up a couple of issues there because it made the underlying assumption that you always prefer peers in the same PID. We need to verify this with the cost map because it may not be the case that you always prefer peers in the same PID. All right, the next one is to default cost. I'll go into that in more detail in the next slide. For redistribution, we removed the X dash from HTTP headers. And there's some updates for what we call a service ID, which relates to having a cluster of Alto servers serving the same Alto information and its impacts on redistribution. Some of the feedback from the interim meeting was for status of codes. For status codes, we can just specify them as strings. We don't since we're encoding everything in JSON, it may be easier to avoid having integers for all of them. This is still up for discussion. For protocol versioning, right now everything is done in the Alto protocol itself, and instead of relying on, for example, extra HTTP headers or putting it off to discovery. So that part remains in the Alto protocol right now in the current draft. And there's also an extra discussion section now on a way to do peer selection with what we call location only. It's not in the spec part of it. It's mainly there for discussion, and it's something we'd like feedback on. All right, next slide. All right, so for default cost, before the 04 draft, we didn't specify a default cost, so you could have had the following scenario. An Alto client downloads both a network map and cost map, and it discovers two peers. For one of them, it gets a PID. It can find a PID in the network map, and from that, it can figure out the cost to that peer. If the other peer is not found in the cost map, for example, there is no PID that matches it or that contains that peer, you have a problem, right? You know the cost to one peer, you don't know the cost to the other peer. So there's a few options. One, you could either have the client or the Alto client say, I'm going to prefer that peer, or I'm going to automatically de-prefer that peer. It's unclear because the Alto server just didn't give you any information about it. If you're going to de-prefer it, then how much should you de-prefer? How much worse is it than the other ones? So right now we simplified it. We said that the Alto server must define a cost to every single endpoint. And a simple way to do that is you define a PID that has 0/0 as the IP address. And certainly the Alto client can still override this. For example, for private addresses, it may automatically prefer them, right? Regardless of what the Alto server says. It's certainly still in the Alto client's power to do that. So any comments on this before I move on? Yeah.
Vijay Gravani. So this comment is as a contributor. Did not we have at one point a PID that the peers would belong to, a default PID that all peers that were not part of that ISP would belong to?
So in a sense, this is the way to specify the default PID. In the spec itself, we never explicitly differentiated different PIDs. Or for example, there was no PID that was marked as default.
I see.
Right? Okay. But the way that this would be interpreted, if you have 0/0, it's in a sense acting as the default PID, right?
So I just assumed what you're trying to make explicit right now.
Yes, exactly.
David Bryan, just a slight normative question about the way you're doing this. If the server must define a cost, but then it's recommended that this is the mechanism, I guess the question there is then, if it's only the recommended mechanism, are you leaving that open so people can do it differently, or are you essentially giving you a backdoor to not, it's a little bit strange. I'm not quite sure how you're doing that.
So in a sense, recommended maybe overstating it there, because the real requirement is that any address, you get a valid PID back, right? An easy way to implement to avoid, for example, what if I miscalculated and left out an IP address from the sum, if you hit the union of all the prefixes, I left out an IP address, right? Then you're not satisfying the requirement. But an easy way to get around that is specify 0/0 as one of them and you're done, right? You don't have that open. So in a sense, it could be overstating it. We can change that to a may or even not make it normative, but we can just suggest that's a possibility. Okay, next slide. Okay, so this is another problem that we noticed for redistribution. So first I'll state what the basic problem is, and then I'll go into how the current draft addresses it. All right, so we have two Alto servers, SA and SB, and they serve equivalent Alto information. What that means is if any client asks for a network map or a cost map or an endpoint cost query, it's going to get the same answer back from either server. You can deploy this for load balancing or redundancy. And according to the discovery, for example, Alto or a client A might map to server A, and a different client B might map to server B. If one of the clients retrieves Alto information, we'd like the ability for the clients to redistribute information amongst each other, right? Now, so it may not be possible to look this up by either domain name or address or IP address. So one of the ways that you could do this, you could write the client such that any server with the same domain name, you can redistribute information amongst each other, right? Amongst those clients. Another way you could do load balancing is with any casts. In that case, you may not have the same domain name, and so the load balancing technique could be different. So the idea is that we introduce the service ID, which is not dependent on a particular load balancing mechanism. And this is an idea that only exists in the Alto layer, and it's defined as part of the if you remember the Alto server protocol, it's defined as part of the Alto like the server capability response. So next slide. All right. Okay. So the service ID is declared by the Alto server in its server capability response, and it's right now it's defined as a UUID, and any server sharing equivalent Alto information gets the same service ID. For redistributed information, we also need that the servers with the same service ID have the same certificate as well for validating the redistributed information, right? So first of all, the first thing we'd like feedback on is this, do people feel this is a mechanism that's needed? It's extra specification that we need in the redistribution section of the draft. But do people feel like this is important and needed? And if not, do we need to even say anything about it, or basically, we're trying to get people's feeling on this. So.
Martin Stiemerling, can this be also part of the versioning information of the cost maps? So that you're going to retrieve two cost maps from two servers and they have the same versioning string or random numbers in it so that they're like this providing the same service?
If they're version numbers, I don't think that's necessarily the case. If they're unique IDs, which is a hat, then could do that. In a sense, you're overloading the same string with two pieces of information, right? You're trying to uniquely identify the server it comes from and the information and that particular set of information from that server. But I think you could implement it that way, yeah. Right?
But this way is also okay, in my opinion.
Yes. So. Yeah.
At which stage of deployment of your infrastructure is a unique ID assigned? From the beginning or during, for example, for a specific configuration?
When you deploy, so you could have two Alto servers that are deployed, and initially they have different UUIDs, right? But as soon as they start And you can then configure it such that they serve identical information, right? After that point, if you would like the ability for information from one server to be redistributed to clients using the other server, then you can define them having the same service ID, right? So this is just adding the ability for clients using redistribution to notice this is really the same set of Alto information. Right?
Because if you use a private public key, this looks like a bit not consistent from the security point of view, that different places, different computers has the same private key. Maybe you need to implement another security mechanism, for example, shared key, but each time the private key at each computer. Because if you, this is why I asked about stage.
Okay.
Installation, reservation, configuration, deployment, and running, operation. So you need to be more careful this using private key and key distribution that will go later.
Okay.
So better to use, for example, shared key, shared secret key.
Okay.
And use the other mechanism to distribute the encrypted this instant this server or computer private key distributing the common secret.
So we're not really after encryption per se. We're really after validation.
At least it should be a different mechanism, not private key cryptography for this purpose. Or maybe identity-based cryptography is very powerful, but it require also a number of pre-installation. It also has a number of shared values, but it can use, for example, the private key, public key as an ID. And because of shared public identity-based cryptography server, shared master key, you can do this.
Okay.
So this more applicable for this case.
Okay. So let me see if I can extend the draft to at least consider that scenario. All right. Okay. The other question is sort of secondary. If it sounds like this, there aren't any objections to having this in the draft and attempting to solve this problem. The other minor consideration is, do we actually have to worry about what if these servers sharing the same Alto information are updated asynchronously? One fails to update. Do we have to handle this in the redistribution section? Right. There'll probably be updates to the section, so we can try to take care of that there, and we'll look for feedback on that at a later time. Next slide. All right. The other thing that we had been looking at is how do you actually integrate Alto into different P2P applications, right? So one of the ways that you can integrate Alto simply in a P2P application is the idea is you only use the network map to figure out which peers are closer to you, right? As I mentioned briefly before, you may have to look at the cost map to see if peers in the same PID are actually preferred or not. But here's a simple algorithm in which you can do peer selection. The basic idea is you operate in three stages. First, you select peers in the same PID. Next, you select peers in the same ISP. And finally, you select peers from different ISPs. You may take some from different categories for a little bit of robustness. Make sure you don't always select the same PID, but the general pattern is this. All right, next slide. So another member of our research group had been doing some experiments with this, and there was actually some pretty good benefits, even if you do a very simple peer selection strategy like this, right? So there's some numbers up here. Basically, we were able to show increase intra-ISP traffic, reduced, and also even more increased traffic within the same PID. And it also happened to help improve application performance as well. Right? So this is a very simple technique, but we can also show that it's already effective. You can do more with the cost map, but this is just a very simple technique. And you'll notice that in the peer selection, one of the things that it assumes is that you know which peers are in the same ISP. Currently, the protocol does not allow you to answer this question. All PIDs, this is related to Vijay's question, basically right now all PIDs are created equal. You just know that there's prefixes within each one, right? But in this algorithm, it shows there can actually be benefit for knowing which PIDs are actually in the same ISP. Right? A simple way to implement this is to add a PID attribute indicating this, and this would hopefully be used in other contexts as well. So one of the things we're looking for feedback on is whether this is people feel like this would be something useful to have and whether this should be in the protocol itself. Right now, this is simply in the discussion section, just to make a note of it. But if people have comments on that, that would be great as well.
Martin Stiemerling. So why should the client need to know what's in the same ISP? Well, it's not enough to say, okay, those CPETs or those PETs are actually to be preferred, and those are not.
So if you're looking at the idea in this simple algorithm is that you make minimal assumptions on the cost map, right? Mm-hmm. So the cost map is you really only consult the cost map to see should I prefer peers in the same PID, right? That's just a simple check. The rest of it, you don't use the cost map. And it's a very simple priority mechanism for doing it, right? And the idea is if people are worried about making the implementation with a cost map, like how do I interpret relative cost between peers? If the idea is that this is difficult, then the idea is to give them a simple way to integrate it.
So, but let's say, because this looks like, okay, we're going to be very specific for certain scenarios. Wouldn't it be just enough to specify saying, well, you should prefer peers in the same PID and then go, I don't know, plus one mm-hmm. in terms of cost for the PIDs.
Right.
And then use those and so on.
So one of the things that assumes is that the ISP is encoding their cost map for that particular algorithm. Right. It could be done that way, right? But that's one of the issues, right?
I'm not sure if it's really encoding for a specific algorithm. It's just saying, well, if you're in this pit and you go to that pit, then it costs you X.
Mm-hmm.
And but probably it's something we can discuss offline.
Yeah. So. I mean, I think the major thing here is that you're able to tell the difference of which peers are in the same ISP versus which ones are outside the ISP, and it tells you explicitly.
John Peterson, individual contributor. I'm not sure I actually know how to do that. And again, if I were provisioning this, and what constitutes an ISP? How do you define an ISP? That's a potentially complicated process. And I think I am actually essentially supporting Martin's position on this. I think I understand a lot better how to say there's a set of PIDs that are more preferred than others.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is coextensive with what your definition of an ISP is, I know ISPs that have tons of different ASs and are constantly acquiring new people, you know, new networks, and the process of saying you're within this ISP, I think, is certainly not trivial.
Okay.
And the only reason why I bring this up is because you're suggesting putting this as an extension into the protocol.
Yes. Right.
It wasn't that, I think this is valuable, actually. It's just something to have in there as here's something that works. But if we need to extend the protocol to define what an ISP is effectively, right, then I start to get nervous.
Right. Okay. That's one reason we wanted to get some discussion about it before actually putting it in the protocol part of the draft. Perfect. Okay. I think that's actually, is that it? Oh, all right. Remaining issues, right? One of the things that's missing from the current protocol is consideration for IPv4 versus IPv6 endpoints. And the idea is that work is being done in a separate draft for now until something reasonable is figured out. We'll be presenting a little bit on that at the end, I believe. One of the things that's been suggested in previous meetings and at the interim meeting was, can we actually use, some sort of schema for specifying the requests and responses? I looked and I found an internet draft for JSON schema. One of the possibilities is using this. I was talking to Martin, and there's RelaxNG is another possibility. And in a next draft, we'll see if it makes sense to use one of these instead of the current way of specifying it. And another work item that we identified at the interim meeting, which hasn't yet been done, is if it might make sense to look at what the Alto protocol might look if it was fully RESTful, for, because to avoid going back and forth in the same protocol document, the idea was we'll look and see what happens, see what it looks like in a separate draft first, and then we'll get an idea of whether people feel like it should be moved in that direction. And I think that's it. Right. There is a comment for IANA stuff for cost types, whether those need to go through IANA or not. I think the other only other one would be the content type. Yes. Right, for HTTP headers as well. Yes.
Martin Stiemeling again. The slide before, please. For the V4 V6 issue, did you talk about somebody else from the authors with some of the V4, V6 folks, let's say transition and for applications, so to get some feedback from them?
So one of the people, Ronaldo, who was the main author of that draft, I think he's quite familiar with that from a vendor's perspective as well. I don't know if he's reached out to the other people in IETF related to that, though.
Yeah, or maybe it's also good to talk to some app people, so who do the applications, and just to get some other opinions or at least openly discuss that.
Okay.